This really is the news, according to me. Yes, it is. It really is. And I'm in a rare mood today, drinking chai tea. Or I should say I was drinking chai tea. Tai chi. It's different. Tai chi and chai tea. One requires a lot more physical activity than the other. I'm more of a chai tea guy than a tai chi guy. I mean, tai chi's a it's an okay thing. But it's good for you. It's healthy. However, it's not. It's not really a martial art. I would say it's not really like a martial art. A warlike. Martial means warlike. I know this from years of study. In the dictionary. My show lately has been a little bit on the the reflective side, kind of mused on about some things that were not really necessarily in the news. And this is supposed to be the news according to me, not just all about me and news about me. So I'm going to try to move on from just talking about myself today. So let's talk about you. What do you think about me? So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I just want to, there's just a lot of little stuff, and it's a whole lot of little stuff that's not so little. Any of it would have been a big major news stuff, you know, back in the day, but with all the stuff we've had recently, it just seems like this is all just trivial stuff now. You know, they're going to spend $1.9 trillion. Okay, so what? Next. Yeah, it's just, you know, just stuff like that. It's just the news. I think we've become so desensitized to the what's actually going on in the world because of the just, you know, incredible. Well, and they sensationalize a lot of things too. So that's part of the whole distraction issue. I'm just going to run through a bunch of stuff because I haven't covered much in the news. So I'm just going to run through a lot of the stuff that's going on and give you my my thoughts on some things. And I just got an email from Rabbi Rick here. See what he has to say. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, this is old news. He's sending me stuff that's old news. But I actually had it jotted down. I usually, my notes consist of like one word topics. Like one word. I just write down somebody's name. That's my notes. That's my show notes. I got like three or four things written down here. Just not a full sentences, that's for sure. This is not scripted. It is, it's not censored, it's not edited. There's no editing involved. This is like a live show and it's just me behind a microphone giving you my thoughts. No teleprompter, no outline. It's just me rambling and people listen to this. This just cracks me up because who'd have thought that people would listen to me yak away like this. And yet here you are listening to me yak away. And here I am appreciating it. I appreciate the fact that there's somebody out there that wants to listen to me. Just go on. Ramble on. We'll see where he goes this time. It's kind of like watching a train wreck, isn't it? You just can't take your eyes off of it. You just can't stop listening. Where's he going to go next? There are people out there laying bets down on a table. Where's he going to go next? I think he's going to talk about that. No, he didn't go there. Boy, that was a left turn. How did he get there from here? And how did he get back? That's the bigger question. How did he make it back to where he was talking about before? That's unbelievable. How did he draw that line from here all the way over there and back over here to point B? It's just, you know, the shortest distance from between two points is a straight line. That is not the operating procedure in this show. I'll just tell you that right now, right up front. You're not going to get the shortest distance between two points. So, the distance between the two points might be very short, but you're not going to get there in a short period. It's kind of like living in Virginia. Somebody's house might be a mile away from you, but you have to drive 12 miles to get there because you got to go around the valley and through the holler and all around the other side of the road and over, because you can't just go over the mountain, which out there, they don't really have mountains. They have mountains there, but I mean, it's more like the hills. They're mountains. I mean, if you crashed into one in an airplane, it would feel pretty solid. I suppose you'd call it, I hit a mountain at that point when you're at like 3,000 feet and you hit something. You probably would call that a mountain, I guess. If you're trying to climb up it, or certainly if you're trying to run down it, or if you fall off of it, then you might say, I just fell off of a mountain. But when you go out west, especially up in the Northwest, okay, now we're talking, now you're talking mountains. Those are some serious mountains there. Mountain ranges, and I'm talking serious mountain range. It's crazy out there. So now, you know, I'm a guy from Indiana talking about mountains. It's like I'm a big authority on all this stuff. So it's a lot of little stuff going on. We have, I keep forgetting to talk about this. This happened a couple of days ago. This is actually what Rabbi Rick just sent me an email about. I'm not exactly sure what the motivation is on the left for them doing what they're doing here. And I'll explain what's happening, and then we'll discuss. I'll discuss. You'll just listen to me discuss with myself. Discuss with myself or discuss with myself? I'm discussing with myself. So, Biden, the current person in the White House, he doesn't realize he's there, but he's walking around in that Oval Office that, it's a good thing it doesn't have any corners in it. He might get stuck there. There's a growing concern about him having the nuclear football. they're not making a big deal out of it. They're not trying to make it a real, they're trying to do this in kind of a sneaky, underhanded manner. Now, there's two theories on this. One is that Joe is not all there, and they're concerned that maybe when the time comes that we have to use those things. And it's funny how they think we're going to use those things. I mean, it's funny that they're concerned about it. Of course, they tried to take it away from Trump to begin with. You know, they back when Nancy was ready to impeach him, they were like, "Well, we got it." She went to herself. This is one branch of government going to the underlings of another branch of government and asking them to basically what you're doing is you're asking him to commit treason because you are undermining the authority and the chain of command in the military. You're going around the commander-in-chief. Commander-in-chief. Yeah, you're going around the commander-in-chief. You're going around the commander-in-chief. And you're asking for him to take away the nuclear codes from the commander-in-chief. Did I say commander-in-chief? Commander-in-chief. Or whatever I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying. You figure it out. Go look it up. You got Google. Just say, hey, Siri. Now all my devices just went crazy. They're going to, what do you want? What do you want now? I didn't understand what you said. I think you said you want me to do your laundry. So they're trying to get the now I don't know how this works. because this basically falls into a constitutional matter, and it's not very well spelled out in the Constitution, but it's very clear that the president is the commander-in-chief. And the Congress, however, is the only body that has the ability to declare war. Now, clear and present danger gives the president the ability to act without Congress. If there are missiles flying at the country, coming from some other country, oh, take a pick. Take your pick of any random terrorist country or communist country that might want to do us harm. Like, I don't know. Just name one. Go ahead, name it. Like Hawaii. Well, I guess that's our country, isn't it? So say that something would happen, and Kamchatka decided to, I only say that because it's on the risk board. It's no longer Kamchatka, but I want to let's just say for, you know, Kamchatka's out there. And they decide to launch, you know, missiles at us. Well, we don't have to have a joint session of Congress to figure this out. We're just, the president now can step in and say, you know what, Kamchatka, you are no more. And guess what? They are no more in reality. But he would have the ability to launch the counterstrike, the mutually shared destruction, or the defense mechanisms or whatever it would be, you know, in place to stop the attack. Imminent danger. Clear and present danger. Now, I heard Nancy Pelosi say that this president was a clear and present danger to our democracy. No, Nancy, that's you're using that term. That's not a term that you use in order to have a license to do whatever you want. That's, you know, there's a clear and present danger. Me sitting here in my office right now, there's cars running back and forth down the street out there. And some of them are going like 50 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. It's a clear and present. It's very clear. And it's very present. However, it's illogical and insane for me to say that I need to put a helmet on and sit here and, you know, maybe like board up my windows and hide in the basement here. Or that I need to take away everybody's keys or block off the street. Because the probability and the plausibility are very different than what, you know, reality is in Nancy Pelosi's head, because she's insane. She's been drinking a little too much, I think. And, just remember that day that she was there on Stephanopoulos being interviewed. And
good morning, Sunday morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sunday morning, all of a sudden, in the middle of a conversation. What she said had nothing to do with anything. Now, I've had times where I've been in a conversation with somebody and kind of sitting there and you go, hello, well, good morning, you know, welcome to the world, because it was part of the conversation. It was a comment. This had nothing to do with the conversation. And yet Nancy thinks that, okay, we're at a point now. Now, you know how bad Nancy is in terms of, you know, some of the crazy things she said. Well, we have to pass the bill to know what's in it. Just some of this crazy, wacky stuff she said. Okay, so take that and how just unnerving it would be for her to be in charge of the military. Think about that. And yet she thinks, and apparently some other people around Joe think the same thing. They think it's safer for Nancy to have the codes than for Joe to have the codes. And apparently some of the things he's been going through, he's been having some lapses now it's weird because he has these days where he really does really well. Now I know that they're still juicing him up. Now, if you saw the last time that he was shuffled in for a little conference thing, continue to watch the way he walks, because this is critical. And I've been reading up on some of the stuff about these memory drugs and what they do to you and how it kind of juices you up a little bit. But at the same time, it kind of overstresses your central nervous system, I guess. Because it's kind of like I want to say LSD. It's not LSD. It's kind of like crack. Crack has this effect on a person where it like keeps you up, keeps you going, makes you, it just, you know, you can work 24 hours straight and not sleep. And your brain, it's so important for a person to get sleep. And it's mostly the most important thing about sleep is the brain activity. Your whole neurological system, your whole, now they believe that the brain is more, your brain and your thoughts are much more than just what's in your head. It's more than the gray matter. It's your whole nervous system, including your gut and everything, you know, all that stuff inside you that comes out when you split open, when you eat too much pie. And you just can't hold it in anymore. You just kind of pop open and everything comes out. And that's what they're finding, is that this kind of has a way of kind of burning out those synapses that are kind of on the, it really ages the person neurologically. And if you watch how he walks now, he walks in shorter steps. It's almost kind of like they start to do this thing called a shuffle. And that's the only way I know how to explain it, because it's kind of like a short step. It's like a half step. They don't do a full, pronounced kind of a confident step. It's an uncertain step. Now he can jog. They can even like pick up and jog, but they're going to be very short stepped even in their jog. It's going to look like they're kind of running, trying to run, but they can't really run. They can't do a full bore, full out run, because that requires a confident stride. Even in the walk, it requires that. And so it's an interesting thing if you watch him. Now keep an eye on it. They won't show him much trying to walk, and when he's like maneuvering and trying to get into a position or get into a chair. But he's struggling with that now. Now he's not overweight, which kind of helps to hide it, because if he was overweight, he would be having an incredibly hard time. He is thin, which is part of that whole issue as well. But he's not all there, guys. He's not all there, folks. And that's a bit of a concern. Now there's people around him, and there's, you know, the generals are still the generals, and they're still large and in charge, and they know what's going on. It's not like, but the problem is, you know, and that we now have people on the left. It was understandable when Nancy wanted to take away the codes from Trump. Okay. She's hated him for 4 years. She's had Trump derangement syndrome running around in her veins for so long that she has, like, I think her blood is probably still boiling. And it's like she's radioactive. She just can't get beyond it. She can't get past it. It's really a sad thing. And it's like, Nancy, take a pill and get over this, because you're letting him live rent-free in your head. Of course, I guess there's a lot of room in there. So apparently it's probably a pretty comfy place to be. Kind of like, hello. So keep in mind that there's other people that are around them even now that are saying that maybe we should share the whole thing. So this is one theory. One theory is that Joe's going nuts and we need to take the codes away from him. The other theory is... And this is probably, it's just as likely, and it may be a combination type thing. They are terribly concerned that Trump is going to be reelected again. Now, if he is, they don't want Trump to have, you know, the full ability to use the nuclear codes. Now, what exactly is it that he did when he was in office that makes them so scared of that? He created more peace deals than the left has ever done. He got our troops out of more countries than the left has ever done. Left or the right has ever done. It just blows my mind that they, you know, the only thing that they were concerned about was they think he's going to launch him against his own people. Because they got this fence up now that they were all concerned about he was going to attack the government. Which, you know, I remind you again, the people we elect as representatives are not our government. The people are the government. The representatives represent our government, who is the people. Remember? You can't say for, of, and by the people if it's the only people that it's for, of, and by are the ones who are behind that fence up there in the Capitol. Now, I say all of that with this in mind. We're not a government unto ourselves. We are a government of people who have a responsibility to each other. And that is important to keep in mind. We are self-governed in that the founders intended us to be self-governed within ourselves. You know, if nobody committed murder, there wouldn't have to be a law against murder. Because nobody does it. There are probably things that a human being could do that haven't been done yet, or that haven't been done enough, that have created, that we have had to have a law for. But don't worry, we've got 100 people in Congress up there every day coming up with laws. I'm sure they'll get around to it. Because if you are a moral people with a common cause and a common respect for each other, you don't need laws. If nobody steals from another person, you don't have to have laws against robbery. But we do. We have all kinds of them, different degrees, different all kinds of stuff. So the idea that they are so scared of either one, Joe doing something stupid, or something, you know, realizing that we're vulnerable right now and that if there was an attack on our country, that Joe wouldn't be able to handle it. That's one possibility. The other possibility is simply that, you know, Joe is, or that Trump might be, you know, a little bit, you know, possibility he might get back into office. Now, it's interesting, along that same route, thought, I guess Romney, I'm not sure where he said it or how he said it or why he said it or what he said exactly, because I didn't actually, all I saw was the headlines, that Romney came out and said that Trump would probably win the primary for the Republican Party. Now, I know, knowing Romney, this is the reason he's saying that. He's not saying that because he's glad about it. He's saying that as a warning and to try to help drum up support for himself, probably, I would imagine. Now, Romney, in 4 years, is not going to be, the guy is a wacko now. And I'm telling you, I know this personality type. I used to work for this kind of guy a long time ago. And I know how these people are. And I guarantee you, this guy is in no. Now, he might have been back in 2012. You know, I did vote for him. I reluctantly voted for him. And it's kind of hard to explain, but since then, he has really kind of shown who he is. And I tell you what, the guy has no business being in the Oval Office. No business being there. He is. So there you go. Got that going on. Now, it was just kind of weird that he came out and basically said that. Now, I know that he didn't say that because he's happy about that fact. He's trying to get the establishment, you know, to rise up against the whole thing. Now, interestingly enough, now I did not hear this speech either, but it kind of goes along. This is kind of a parallel story. Apparently, Mike Pence, and I'm not sure where he said it, whether it was at CPAC or where he was when he said it, but he said something to the effect of that I guess was praising Trump. So he didn't come out and say anything derogatory. You know, I wouldn't expect him to actually. I wouldn't expect him to actually come out and say anything really bad about Trump. However, I am surprised he said anything at all about Trump. To be frank about it. But apparently he was very open and frank about very positive towards Trump. So now, I think that Trump will pick him as a VP again if he runs again in 2024? I don't think so. I don't know who he will pick, but I guarantee you there are probably some people that he has on his short list that does not include Mike Pence. Unless there is some kind of major mending of fences between now and then. Because I don't think they're getting along real well right now. Now, maybe Trump has somehow, you know, they could probably mend fences and at least, you know, be cordial to one another, I'm sure. But I don't know. Unless, you know, if I was Trump, I think I'd be in a, I don't know how I would act. I would hope I could forgive somebody, but just because you can forgive somebody doesn't mean you're going to go into business with them again. So that's kind of the, and I know they're not in business together, but that's you kind of are yoked in a sense. So I don't know that I would again. And I respect Mike Pence to some degree, but I don't necessarily think I would trust him very far. I don't know. I have the feeling that Mike Pence may run for office in 2024 as well. I think he's going to probably try to be in the primary. That's what I think. So there you go. It's, you know, the political careers of those individuals. Who knows what's going on with that? So that's what's happening right now with the Biden nuke thing. Interesting stuff. More importantly, we're going to talk a little bit about the, Anthony Fauci. We have, I'm getting scared. The Johnson & Johnson. Of all things, does Procter & Gamble own Johnson & Johnson now? Or did I hear that they got bought out? Or is that just in my head? Did I dream that? Because I dream about stuff like that. I dream about Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry's, all these two-name companies, J.C. and Penny. Is that thing. I don't think it's a thing. So, Johnson & Johnson apparently has this vaccine now that is, it's a one-shot deal. You don't have to take two of them. I think what they did is they increased the dose. They just give you twice as much. I don't know why nobody else thought of that. No, I don't know. I don't know what they do. I have no idea what they do, but apparently it's a one-shot thing. And Johnson & Johnson actually is a company I probably would probably trust more than any of the others out there. I mean, Moderna was a little scary, but I think that they had a better the Pfizer thing kind of was actually more spooky than Moderna, and Moderna was a little bit concerning to me. Now the whatever they call it, the Sputnik drug or whatever, the Sputnik vaccine, I don't know what they call it, the thing from Russia, the V1 or whatever it's called. I don't know what they're calling it. That one apparently people are taking. I don't know how effective it is. But apparently it's a. Of course, now they have no FDA over there. they have no clinical trials. They just try it out on a. Okay, we got this group of people over here that we don't like. Let's try it on them. Kind of like a Tuskegee thing, Tuskegee thing. That's the. You know. They still have that kind of stuff over there. And you go look up the Tuskegee thing, and then you'll understand why some people in our culture are concerned about certain ethnic group in our culture is concerned about the government giving them a vaccine. A little experiment that happened on some people. So you got to, you know, you got to kind of have some understanding of that kind of thing, the history there. So so Johnson & Johnson's come up with this new vaccine, and I don't know, I'm not sure exactly how soon. I guess it's one approval, emergency approval, I think it is. That's what they called it. And so I think that's part of it. The other thing, I guess, that I've heard about too is that, well, you know, Tiger Woods. I just happen to think Tiger Woods had a crash. I guess I didn't ever talk about that either. Pretty serious crash. When I heard he just got into an accident, I didn't think it was that big of a deal because I heard the car rolled over, I guess. But when I saw pictures of the vehicle, and then started hearing more about the reports of, you know, surgery and all the stuff that they're putting in his one leg, I guess his one leg's pretty messed up. However. And this always cracks me up because reporters always say, "Oh, he's never going to come back. Never going to. Oh, he'll never be the same." The kind of perseverance and discipline. You can say what you want about Tiger, but the kind of perseverance and discipline that a person has to go through to play at that level. The kind of drive and talent that they have is not something that the average person can understand. Anybody else, they would probably file a disability and never work again. Not anybody else, but a lot of other people would just, they would go through that. Tiger is an individual far and above the norm. And I believe that if he sets his mind to it, he can be back and be competitive again, if he wants to be. He's getting old. He's up there in years. He's a little bit older than I am. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. I'm 142. I think he's 144. But he, I believe that he could definitely show everybody that he can still do it. He came back once. And this is just, you know, round two. Or I guess it'd be round three. So, you know, what looks amazing to us is, you know, it's, and it is amazing. It's amazing he has that kind of talent, drive, and discipline, and that kind of thing. But I know he could actually definitely. If he sets his mind to it. He could probably, if you know, I don't know what other injuries he had for sure. If he had any hand injuries or arm injuries, that kind of thing, that would just make it basically physically impossible for him to do something. I don't foresee that. But I don't know. I don't know for sure. The other day, a lady by the name of Janet Yellen, she was a yellin' about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Now, I have to admit, the whole Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, you know, Ethereum or whatever it's called, and all the stuff that's out there, I have to admit, I have no clue what this stuff is. It just boggles my mind. First of all, it's mined somehow. M-I-N-E-D, not M-I-N-D-E-D. M-I-N-D, minded, mind. It's mine. It's being mined. And it's through some kind of calculate or some, I guess you have computers that you give someone access to, to use the processing power of your computer hooked up to the internet, and they make these calculations, and they're using this stuff to, in order to make, so they're using your computer, I guess, or something. I don't know what that's all about. And you can crank out like 0.000001 Bitcoin a day or something for letting them use your, I don't know how, I don't know that there's any more Bitcoins left. I think all the Bitcoins are gone. Now, that's a whole other thing that fascinates me. Okay, well, why is there a finite amount? And who decided there was a finite amount? And who's behind it all? And how is it controlled? How is it, it goes beyond my ability to put into my head. And so, because probably, and I've even watched some videos about it and tried to figure it out. And I just, you know what? I don't need to know about it because I'm not going to spend my brain cells on that because I'm just not, I don't know. So I just kind of have let it go. Maybe at some point I'll get interested in enough to, you know, when it goes over $100,000 a coin. If it ever drops down again, I think I may buy into it. And you don't have to buy a whole coin. You just have to buy, you know, if you want to put $1,000 into Bitcoin, then you can own $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. However, one Bitcoin might be $20,000. Right now it's over $50,000, I think. It's still up there. But why is it? I don't know. Now Janet Yellen, and this is the only reason I'm very positive about Bitcoin and thinking about maybe buying into some of this stuff, is that Janet Yellen is discouraging people from buying it. She is Secretary of Treasury or whatever she is now, I guess. Something like that. I don't know what she is. She's some big shot in Biden's thing there. And she's been around for a long time. She's a globalist. She's a New World Order guy, a lady. She's, I don't know, she's been yelling about it for a long time. She just won't stop yelling. She's very discouraging towards buying into crypto coin and that kind of thing, crypto stuff. And so that leads me to believe that maybe I should buy into that. Just as a, you know, as a buffer, as a hedge, as they say. I don't want to go nuts and buy, you know. And here's the thing. This is what people on the left, I've stopped arguing with them, because it's, you try to explain something to them, and then you ask, while you're in this discussion, they ask a stupid question. Just stupid question. These are grown individuals who are old enough to have been on the gold standard or the silver standard, the you know, the precious metal standard that we had until Nixon signed us off on it. Oh, we're just going to have fiat currency. Let's just do that. Because then we can just print money and who cares? How'd that work out for us there, Richard? So, the crazy thing here is that I think we were on the silver silver standard or whatever you want to call it. Well, so there's been discussion about getting us back on the silver standard or the gold standard. And when you talk to some people about this, they think that means we're going to be carrying around silver coins. Everybody has to have silver. That our dollars aren't worth anything anymore. That's not the way that works. You see, we used to carry around reserve notes, which meant that you could take your reserve note down to the bank and you could trade it in for silver. And the price of silver, well, here's the thing. An ounce of gold, just to give you an idea, an ounce of gold back in the day, back in the 1950s or 40s, you could take an ounce of gold and you could go buy yourself a really nice suit. Today, if you have an ounce of gold, you can buy yourself a really nice suit. And that's the way that works. There is something called intrinsic value in that precious metal. It's called precious metals, rare metal, whatever you want to call it. And that's how it maintains its value. Now, a long time ago, back in 2008, long time ago, doesn't seem like that, like it's that long when you've been alive as long as I have. But it was just a couple days ago, it seemed like. And we had this thing called a supposed stock market crash, or the crash of the banking industry crash, whatever you want to call it, the 2008 economy thing. And it was all screwed up. And we had to bail out the big banks. It really, if you look into it, you'll come to find out that there was really only one big bank that was having problems that was going to fail. But they had to make it sound like all the banks were going to fail, because they didn't want to point out the one bank that was going to fail. And that group had such a big lobby that they decided to we're just going to throw a bunch of money at the whole thing, bail them all out, even though they don't need it, because they were concerned about runs on the bank and do all kinds of things happening. And so they gave all these bankers a bunch of money, and like they needed money. Yeah. Help them out. And so they went through this whole process. They got all that done. And in the middle of all that, you had, where was I going with this? I'm not even sure where I was going with all this. I have to think back. I know what I need. I have my sweet tea over here on the far side of my, there it is. Because I'm out of chai and I haven't had anything to drink for a little while. That cold, sweet tea hitting my stomach stimulates my brain cells, so I can return back to what I was saying before. Now, so the whole purpose here is that this person was asking me, okay, so back in the crunch there that happened in the 2008 thing, the collapse. The question was, you know, this person had a 401k, and their 401k was pretty sizable. It wasn't $1 million, but it was a big chunk of change there. I wouldn't have sneezed at it or, you know, brushed it aside. It was a good sized chunk of change. And the person asked me, they said, so my 401k was worth X amount of dollars, and now it's worth this amount of dollars. It had lost, like, I don't know, $80,000. And their question was, where did the money go? Where does that go? How does that work? And this is where, and even gold isn't necessarily, nothing's foolproof. Okay, if all of a sudden everybody had 10 pounds of gold, gold wouldn't be worth as much. Because everybody's got a bunch of it. Hey, you want? I'll buy that car off of you for a pound of gold. No, I got plenty of gold. Sorry, you got any bread? I'm kind of hungry. I could use some food. If you give me a sandwich, I'll give you the car. And that's that is actually, I don't know if that's in scripture or if that's been in some I don't know, poetic works or something. I thought it was in scripture somewhere in Proverbs, but there's like a prophecy that says, you know, the day is coming when a bag of gold will buy a loaf of bread. Because it's not about the, you know, when it comes down, the bottom line is you got a food, you can't eat gold. So you're going to have something to trade for, you know, and right now we're trading in dollars, which are kind of like labor credits. I work, you know, if I work an hour, I get $15, or you soon will. And so for that hour of work, rather than, and then I'll be able to take my $15 and go down to the store and buy 15 pounds of sugar. And instead of me going to the guy who makes the sugar and saying, hey, I'll mow your yard for you if you give me 15 pounds of sugar. So instead of doing a bartering thing, we have this ability to take the work we've done for one person, and then we can use that work as credit for, or you know, we have the funds that we can then go and trade to the next individual who's created something or produced something, and we can trade with them. Even though our labor was done over here, we can take that labor that we got our funds for and we got paid in, and we can it's called currency. Now, it's fiat currency. It's not worth anything. It's paper it's printed on. But you can give me as much of it as you want. Go ahead and feel free to send me all the paper that you have money printed on. So where did that value go? Where did that money go? Well, nobody wants to buy it. You have stock in a company that was worth one thing one day, and now the next day it's not worth as much because nobody wants it. If you have a car that's unique and everybody wants it, maybe you paid $3,000 for it and now all of a sudden it's worth $10,000. So that car's sitting in your driveway and it's worth $10,000 because you know somebody will, there's a lot of people out there that would pay you $10,000 for that car. But all of a sudden they find out there's something wrong with that car. And all those cars that were made that year have a major flaw. And after, you know, in 1 year, it's going to turn into dust because they all evaporate. Well, now nobody's going to want that car. So all of a sudden, that car that was worth $10,000 sitting in your driveway is worth about $5 because nobody wants it. You can't even give it away. Well, it's just going to disappear. About a month, it's going to be gone. So now I would get it and drive like crazy. I would just drive the daylights out of it. Have some fun. I'd pay $5 for it. But that's the point. The point is that the actual value has been lost because of lack of confidence in what the product is. Now, theoretically, if you own silver and you don't own it in paper, you own it in actual physical silver or gold, that the theory is that then you could trade that because it's something intrinsic, it has value. It won't ever go to zero, in other words. Because even if the price of silver went down to, you know, like 5 cents a pound, you could at least, you know, melt it down or do something with it, or possibly, you know, hammer it into a, you know, forge it into some kind of a tool, like a wrench or a hammer or a knife or something, and or a fork, and sell it for $20 or $10. Whatever it's worth. Because you can make something out of it. Whereas with a stock, if that stock goes to zero, well, good luck with that piece of paper that you've got that says you own stock in that company, because you're going to be making a paper airplane, I guess. You could do that. So it's the Bitcoin thing fascinates me because it's all in the ethosphere. And it just seems to me like it could be taken away overnight with the flip of a switch, but I guess it can't be. And for some reason, that's the part that fascinates me. I don't understand how that works. Well, you can have your own little wallet with a Bitcoin wallet. And then, of course, then you have to be able to spend that on goods and services that actually take Bitcoin, which more and more places are doing that now. The amazing thing about it is you can't, it is outside of the banking system. It is outside of, supposedly, outside of the government being able to seize it from you or a court being able to stop you so that's the amazing, at least so far. Now, I think you can actually trade it on the stock market now. I think there's actually, it's out there. It's out there and it's coming for you. This summer, it's Bitcoin. Yay! So yeah, it's interesting that people are buying into it more now than ever. I think partially because it's, you know, just the lack of uncertainty, or the lack of certainty, or the amount of uncertainty that's out there. So there you go. Now, for those of you who don't, I'm going to take another turn here. For those of you who know Gorka, Sebastian Gorka, I guess he's a professor at some college somewhere. But he, I don't know, and I know a little bit about his background, but not that much. I know some things about his background, but he's an interesting character. Brilliant man, very well-read, extremely intelligent person. He's not the kind of guy I necessarily particular to care to hang out with. But he made a statement that Trump is back on the political scene. Now, I don't know if that's because he had a conversation with Trump, and so now he thinks he's back on the political scene, and he's, you know, I don't know. But apparently Trump is coming out and going to be more vocal. Now, I do know that this weekend, on this Sunday, I think he's kind of like the main keynote speaker of CPAC this year. And he is going to be speaking at CPAC. I don't know if CPAC is all virtual or not. I think they've got a regular, like a group of people there. I don't think it's just all Zoom stuff. And Trump is going to speak at the CPAC event. I don't know if you heard Rush today, Rush Limbaugh show. You know, you didn't hear Rush because you might have heard a recording of Rush. He did a speech at CPAC a while back, and it was incredibly awesome. I remember hearing it live, and it was just very inspiring. And this is back when Obama was the president, I believe. He would have been a new president then. And one of the things that Rush took a lot of flack for was saying that he hoped that Obama would fail. And of course, he took a lot of flack from people saying, well, if Obama fails, if the president fails, the nation fails. No. This, again, gets back to the people are the government, not the king, not the president. The president is not the country. We don't uphold and defend the president. We uphold and defend the Constitution because it is a document that is for, of, and by the people. And he explained it very well at the CPAC speech. He said, he hopes that everyone who is for liberty, for freedom, for the exceptional things that this nation is about. I'm not quoting him here. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. He hopes that all those people, basically everyone there at that event, would succeed. He wants the success of the individual, basically, is what he was saying. Because and he wants anyone who opposes that with their ideologies and their socialist mentality, he wants those people and those things, those ideologies, to fail. Because if you have someone in an office of leadership and their leadership platform goes against everything that you are for, that the country stands for, then if that person is successful in their office and getting their programs and their way in the things that they want to have happen to the country, the fundamental transformation that they want to do, if they are successful, It is not for the benefit of the country. The betterment of the country is not a part of who they are. And that's what he was trying to get at. And people, he took a lot of flack from that. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, they didn't come out as much and call him a racist back then. The term racist wasn't used as much, but it was still, that was still their thing. They still used it against him. They're, oh, well, you're just racist. You just don't want to see him succeed because he's black. Well, he's only half black, but he's black. So that, and they will always use that. Okay, folks, if you haven't figured it out by now, the group of individuals, the media, the people who have lied to us for 4 years, at least, if not more, and the whole, you know, about the whole Russia thing. And everything about Trump. Every day it was just, oh, he's lying, he's lying. We can't even put him on television anymore because he just lies so much. Now we're supposed to all of a sudden believe you when you tell us that there was the most perfect election ever. The day after the election, it was, there's nothing to see here. No questions. You can't ask any questions. You can't have any concerns because there's nothing to see here. We won. You're done. Yeah, they have no bias, of course. They're completely non-biased, and we're just supposed to believe everything they say. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, let's just go along with that. And if you do say anything, you're a racist and you're an insurrectionist. You're an enemy of the state to our democracy. You're threatening our democracy. But I had this other interesting little letter from a little email from Rabbi Rick earlier. And I don't know, for some reason it's not coming up on my computer, but I was going to bring it up on here. It's it's kind of interesting. I want to see if I can find it here real quick. It's here somewhere. I guarantee it's here somewhere. There it is. It's called The Important Thing Is No Mean Tweets. No Mean Tweets. I don't know, I just want to read a little bit. This article goes on and on and on, but it's pretty interesting. Americans are a spoiled people who do not understand just how good they have it. Sure, the economy is tanking. Our kids are locked out of school. And President Badfinger is handing the Chi-Coms our country on a platter. But that ignores the big picture. There are no mean tweets. There are no more mean tweets. Donald Trump has been successfully banished by means of the most honest and legitimate election ever, according to important and smart people who would never lie to you and who have zero personal interest in reinforcing the power and position of their garbage establishment. Gone along with him, thanks to the brave help of the social media overlords, is his ability to tweet. No more mean tweets, people. Think of it. Savor it. And forget everything else that is going on. You know, there have been legendary epochs in the human history before where everything... I'm sorry, I skipped a line because of the way they have this advertisement in between here. History before where everything changed for the better. The Pax Romana. The Renaissance. The Obama years. And now, joining these fabled eras, I can talk. Is the era of no mean tweets. What a time to be alive. Instead of mean tweets, we live in an age when we embrace science. Okay, some science. Not the science that says life begins at conception. Not the science that says men can't menstruate. And certainly not the science that says public school teachers should go back to their jobs. The other science, the good kind. Like the science that says that the world is getting hotter because you peasants have cars and barbecues. Science teaches us that it recently got cold in Texas because of global warming. And when it gets hot in Texas this summer, that will be also because of global warming. Wow. Science. And no mean tweets. We are experiencing a new dawn here, people. And it goes on. It goes on and on and on. Talks about the Keystone Pipeline, military. But no mean tweets. Boy, it keeps on going. It's kind of a sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek article, if you didn't catch that. But it really is kind of the where we're at, I guess. And we're soon to find out. Now, I heard again today a very bad report about the Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers. Stuart Rhodes founded it. He's still the leader of the Oath Keepers. This is what the Oath Keepers is about. This is their general premise. This is their foundational belief that people in the Oath Keepers are committed and hold each other accountable to keeping their oath. The oath they took to uphold and defend the Constitution. They take an oath to no man. They take an oath only to the Constitution. This apparently is such a radical thing that they are now considered radical terrorists. They are considered alt-right. They are considered racists, insurrectionists, a danger to our democracy. And all of those things are being said by people who believe, well, I would call them the oath breakers. Because they have no concern or intention of keeping their oath. The oath means nothing to them. And this is where the rub comes in, because it's now conflicting with people who are bound to keep their oath and are actually being serious about it. Those individuals are now cutting across the line of the compromising group. And it's causing a problem. Because you have a bunch of people in the military, first responders, police, who have taken this oath. And they are a part of this group called the Oath Keepers, holding each other accountable to that oath. And apparently it is conflicting with the bureaucrats and the politicians who would have you say that, well, if you tell you can't be, you have to be flexible about that. You got to have some compromise in there. They're the ones compromising that they expect you to do the same. Yeah, okay. Speaking of compromising, Governor Cuomo in New York is continuing to take some heat from the left. There's a bit of a problem here, though, however. Of course, this gets back to, again, to the end justifies the means, and it doesn't, they have double standards. That's all given. We just know that. The hypocrisy and double standards, that's just part of who they are. So what has happened now is that this woman has come out basically from his campaign. It was a campaign aide or one of his aides. I'm not sure if it was a actual campaign person or not, but it was somebody in his cabinet. Apparently Cuomo has his own little private jet. And he made the mistake of coming out and talking about having, you know, she said we were on the jet and he's making passes and tried to kiss her on the lips and all kinds of stuff, tried to play strip poker with her, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of these allegations coming out from this lady. And some other people have come forward too as well. However, the only people that are not coming forward, the ones that are not coming forward, are people like, AOC, Clinton, Anybody from the squad? Anybody who came out during the whole the SCOTUS trials, confirmation hearings for Kavanaugh, Gorsuch? Actually, Gorsuch didn't get too much on that. But it was Kavanaugh. They all came out for Kavanaugh. Women, all women must be believed. And of course, these accusations have also flown out about Joe. And all of a sudden there's just, the only thing you really hear, you get a lot of that. Because they don't seem to all of a sudden care so much about that. Now, keep in mind, now they're not happy about it. They're upset. Of course, they're mostly just upset because they're upset that they got caught. Now, keep in mind that Cuomo was an individual they were trying to push up as a potential presidential candidate on the left for 2020. They were talking like he should jump in the race. And he backed out of that real fast. He was not going to have any, I don't want to be president. Because he probably knew all the stuff that he's done and it would all come out. And, if you happen to think back, there was another individual that CNN and everybody was touting as, oh, this guy is great. This is like the Trump version of the guy on the left that we need to have. And that was the guy, the one lawyer, that was Stormy Daniels' lawyer. I can't even think of the guy's name, who ended up getting carted off to jail in handcuffs because of some of the stuff he had done. All of a sudden, he's a nobody. Don't hear about him anymore. Speaking of nobodies that you don't hear about anymore, what happened to the Irish Mexican from Texas? O'Rourke. Beto. I thought he was going to be the gun czar, according to Biden. Anybody seen him lately? He's like nowhere to be found. Now, last I heard, somebody went to look for him. They were out searching for him, and they did hear something. He's probably running around on his skateboard or getting a tooth thing done or something, or having his hair cut. I don't know. He did all kinds of weird stuff on the campaign trail. I got to hand it to the guy. He's trying to make a splash there, trying to be creative in a crazy kind of lunatic kind of way. But, I don't know what happened to him. He's gone. He'll probably be back someday because, those guys, they never go away completely. They're kind of like a cockroach. Just when you think they're gone, they come back. Kind of like a bad smell. So, I think that's about, I've kind of, hopefully I've got you caught up on all the stuff that's going on in the world. And, or at least in our country. And the big stuff. Cuomo, I don't know what's going to happen with him. There's some calls for him to resign. There's also some calls for the FBI to give a report to the Republicans on what Nancy knows about what happened on the 6th. Now she's coming out and saying she's denying everything. There was never a report. There was never any intel about what was going on that day. There are plenty of people who will beg to differ with you on that. And there are some people high enough up in the deep state who gave some of those reports that will probably say, we're not going to hang for this. They're gonna throw it back at him, and so I don't think that whole thing is over yet. Now, will anything happen to anybody? No, it will just be a big smoke storm, and people will be talking about it and all kinds of stuff. Lindsey Graham, he likes to squirm in his chair and point his finger and talk smack, but it means nothing. It goes nowhere. That's what I'm saying. So. Here we are, Wednesday, February 25th, for the evening show. And once again, I want to thank everybody for listening. And thank you for sharing and subscribing, listening again and again. and listening to the musings of an old man about politics and stuff happening in the world. Tomorrow morning's show should be pretty exciting. I'm going to be going to be doing a show tomorrow. Should be exciting. It should be. They all should be exciting, but they're not. So even though it should be, it doesn't mean it's necessarily mean it's going to be. I'm just saying it should be. I'm making no promises because that's the way I am. But the show must go on because I don't know why. That's just, it has to. There's no other reason. There's nothing else to do. So it's just going to go on. I want to thank all of you for listening, for participating in this little experiment of an old man rambling on. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more to talk about tomorrow. But in the meantime, do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. Matthew 10:26. Yeah. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The entire quote here is, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself." God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is an act. Or to act. Yeah. Have a good night, everybody.